We're holding Ankof Bays on the bays about halfway down the narrow lines by the two dots. The Mishnah had said, "En roi no sechula." The Mishnah had said, as far as the honor and respect that people have to have for a king, therefore they can't see him when he's taking a haircut or various other things. So let's talk about the king's haircut. Tanan, a king takes a haircut every day. Now, his barber, Bapashtis, is going to see him while he's getting his haircut. We might say that maybe even the barber is required to keep as much as possible of the king's head covered while he's doing it. Or we might say that maybe it's different because he has to do it. Or I guess you could have a few possibilities. But in any case, a king is supposed to take a haircut every day, as we're going to see soon. Why? As we're going to see in a second why that is. Kohen Gadol me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. A Kohen Gadol is supposed to take a haircut every Friday. Kohen Hedyot echad l'shloshim yom, and a Kohen Hedyot has to take one at least once every 30 days. So the Gemara says Melech mistapa b'chol yom shenema. Where do we see that a king should take a haircut every day? Because the pasuk says, "Melech b'yof yotechzena einecha." Because the pasuk says that you should see the king in his, you should see that your eyes should see the king in his beauty. So therefore, so you want the king to look as good as possible, and therefore that means that he always has to have his hair freshly cut. Next, Kohen Gadol me'erev Shabbos le'erev Kohen Gadol me'erev Shabbos, a Kohen Gadol once a week on Erev Shabbos. Why is that? Omer Rav, Omer of Shmuel bar Nachman, Omer of Yochanan, Hoyl Mishmoris Mischadshos. Because on Shabbos, the new Mishmar is going to be coming in. The new Mishmar of Kohenim would be taking over on Shabbos afternoon, and the previous Mishmar would be leaving. The Kohen Gadol, we want that, again, we want the new Mishmar to see the Kohen Gadol at his best. Obviously, he can't take his haircut on Shabbos, so therefore let him take it on Erev Shabbos as close as possible to when the new members of the Mishmar are going to be seeing him. Kohen Hedyot echad l'shloshim yom. A Kohen Hedyot has to take a haircut once every 30 days. So why is that? Dichtiv, the Navi Yechezkel describes about the Kohanim. He gives some of the details of the dinim as far as the Kohanim. He says, v'roisham, they're not allowed to shave their heads completely. Like Dalochim or whatever. Ufera lo, on the other hand, they're not allowed to let their hair grow long. Kosem, they should kosem their heads. The Gemara is going to explain further on what kosem means. It's a type of haircut, but the point is, in other words, we're focusing on the fact that the pasuk says ufera lo, that they shouldn't grow, that they shouldn't grow a pera. So how much is pera? The Yalef Pera Pera Minozir. We learn a Gzeder Shava on the word Pera from what it says by a Nozir. Sivhocha Pera Lo Yishalechu, Uchtivasim Gado Pera San Roshay. By a Nozir, it says that the Nozir has to let the Pera, has to let the growth of the hair of his head grow. Some Mephoshim say it's not really a true Gzeira Shava, and especially because we're talking about between Nevi'im and Torah, so rather it's called a Gilui Milsa Ba'alma. It's informing us of the definition of the word Pera. Anyway, so Malahalan Shloshim Afkan Shloshim, just like by a Nazir, the Pera means that he grows his hair for at least 30 days, because as we're going to explain in a second, Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom, the minimum Nazirus is 30 days. So the same thing, Afkan Shloshim, the same way over here, it means 30. Therefore, the Kohen is not supposed to be growing his hair for 30 days or more. And therefore, he has to cut his hair once every 30 days. Okay. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Nozir, Stam Nezirus Shloshim Yom, that unspecified Nezirus is 30 days. So therefore we see that Pera is defined as a growth of hair of 30 days, and therefore we apply that to the Kohen as well. V'hosam menolon, and there in turn, where do we know taka by a nozer in 30 days? Amar amasan to amakro kodesh yia b'gematria tlosin hav. Where the pasuk says about the nozer, he shall be kodesh, and the word it uses is yia, which is gematria 30. So we learn from that nezirus is 30 days. And therefore, once we know from that, then we use this gzera shavu, this gilui milsa ba'alma of pera, and say that the same thing applies to a kohen hedyot. Okay. Well, Omalay a Papa Abaya, Emalay Lubu Klal. So the Papa says to Abaya, still, maybe it means that they shouldn't be growing their hair long, that they shouldn't be growing their hair long at all. So Rashi explains the question is still, how do you know? Maybe it means by the Kohanim, it means that they shouldn't be allowing it to grow at all. They should be cutting it maybe they should be cutting it at sometime sooner than that. They should be cutting it every day or every week, like the king or like the Kohen Gadol. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos points out the fact is we do have a Gzeira Shava from the word Pera. So fine. Rav Papa would say that maybe though we would say it means they can't reach the stage of Pera of 30 days. They have to take their haircut on the 29th day. How do we know that? And we said that they take their haircut once every 30 days, not every 29. So how do we know that? Amalei, so Abaye answers him, Iksiv lo yishalchu pera. If the pasuk had said they should not let grow a pera kidkamrit, then fine. It would be like you said, then it means they can't allow their hair to grow until it reaches the stage of pera. Hashtag dichtiv ufera. However, the pasuk says it differently. Ufera and a growth of hair lo yishalechu. Then they should not allow it to grow. In other words, the word ufera, which means a growth of hair. Only then does it say as far as that growth of hair lo yishalechu. They shouldn't allow it to grow too long. So therefore, we can see from that. So therefore, pera lehavi. So therefore, they can have a pera shaluchi lo l'shalchu. It just means that they can't allow it to grow beyond the stage of pera. So once it reaches 30 days, then that's too long, and then in that case, they have to cut it. So the Gemara asks. So that's where we learn that the kohenim have to take their haircuts once every 30 days. Now, all of this is when the Beis Hamikdash is standing. The fact is, nowadays there's no halacha that a kohen has to take a haircut that often. So nowadays as well, when there's no Beis Hamikdash, we should have the same din that a kohen has to take a haircut every 30 days. And the answer is dumya de yayin. The answer is we can compare it to drinking wine. Ma yayin bizman biya hu de also shalo bizman biya shari. Now wine, the kohen is also to drink when he's going to be coming into the Beis Hamikdash to do the avodah. But when it's not the time when he's coming into the Beis Hamikdash, then it's mutter. The same will be as far as growing his hair only when he's going to be coming into the Beis Hamikdash is it also, but otherwise not. There is machlokas of the Rambam and the Ravid. Does that mean that every koyed when the Beis Hamikdash is standing, taka has to take a haircut once every 30 days, which is how the Ravid holds, or does it mean that when he's going for the avoda, he has to be taking a haircut? But let's say, for example, for a while now, he's not going to be doing the avodah. Let's say, I don't know, I suppose you could have, for example, that let's say his mishmo just served in the Beis Hamikdash last week, and a Yom Tov is not coming up, so he's not going to be in rotation for another few months. Then according to the Rambam, he might not need to take a haircut, because he's not going to be coming in to the Beis Hamikdash in the next couple of months, whereas according to the Ravid, he might still be, because the fact is the Beis Hamikdash is still standing. Anyway, the point is that we see that when there's no Zman Bia, when there's no Beis Hamikdash to come to, then he's allowed to drink wine. The same thing, he's allowed to grow his hair. Well, V'yayin Shalo Bizman Bia Shari. So you're telling me a Kohen is allowed to drink wine when he's not going to be coming in to the Beis Hamikdash, when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rebbe Omer, that Rebbe says, and it's only Rebbe's opinion, Omer Ani, I would say, yes, Kohenim Asurim Lushtes Yayin La'olam, Kohenim are never allowed to drink wine. Now the Chachamim, now earlier in the Braisa, the Chachamim explicitly say that that a Kohen is not allowed to drink, that a Kohen is not, the Braisa mentions over there, that if a Kohen knows what Mishmo he's from, and he knows that his Mishmo is going to be serving that week in the Beis Hamikdash, or would have been serving in the Beis Hamikdash had it still been standing, then he would be also to drink wine. And if he doesn't know what Mishmo he's from, then the Chachamim say he's never allowed to drink wine because his Mishmo might be up for duty in the Beis Hamikdash this week. Agav, by the way, here, you know, of course, they had the rotation of the Mishmaris during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Even after the Beis Hamikdash, for hundreds of years, actually, it seems, they kept up knowledge of what, they kept up as much as possible knowledge of what Mishma would have served that week in the Beis Hamikdash. They found piyutim from Eretz Yisrael from several centuries later. They found inscriptions from Eretz Yisrael from several centuries later that lists the order of the Mishmaris. And the point is, it wasn't just a list of the Mishmaris so you can memorize them. They would actually keep the track of, like we keep track of the parasha of the week. They would keep track of the Mishmar of the week. So you really could have that for quite some time there. You could have, you know, that this week's Mishmar is going to be such and such, but you personally, a Kohen, don't know whether you're from that Mishmar or not. So the Chacham say then you would never be allowed, a Kohen then would never be allowed to drink wine because if he doesn't know what Mishmar he's from, because the Mishmar might be on duty this week. Rebbe says it's true. I would say that in principle, Kohenim should be also to drink wine forever. Aval ma'aseh, but Rebbe says, what can I do? Because the ruination is what fixes him up. Meaning, in other words, the fact that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, which is a kalkola, it's a terrible thing that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, that itself kind of serves as takanosai, as the way of fixing things up for him. Meaning, in other words, it helps him out in the sense that since the Beis Hamikdash has already been destroyed, for the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, the Mishmaris have all been mixed up, that itself makes it that now they're able to drink wine. In other words, what Rebbe says, we don't have to be so concerned that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built so fast that he's going to be possible to do the avodah because he's still going to be drunk. That's how Rashi learns it. The Rambam learns it that it means because he's mekulko, because he doesn't know what mishmo he's from. Then therefore that itself fixes him up, because the fact is, in order to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, it's going to have to first be established what mishmo he's from, and that's going to take time. And meanwhile, there'll be time for the wine to dissipate. The Omar Abaya, and Abaya says, "Kman shosi kani chamra idna." According to whom do whom with whose opinion do Kohenim follow nowadays when they drink wine? Kerebi, they go according to Rebbe's opinion, who says that takanose kalkolose. Well, Miklal de Rabban and Astri. Well, the implication would seem to be that the Chachamim hold that the Chachamim hold that it's also. So according to the Chachamim, it is indeed also from many Kohenim, if not all Kohenim, because nowadays no Kohen knows what Mishmar is from or what Mishmar is on duty this week in the Beis Hamikdash. And according to them, it's also, and therefore according to them, it should also be also for a Kohen to go 30 days without a haircut. So the answer is Hosam Hainu Taima. No, because the reason is like this. The fact is, we know Meheri Yabona Beis Mikdash. Very soon the Beis Mikdash is going to be built. Now, the Chachamim take the view that, look, we need Kohenim who are going to be suitable to do the Avodah. If the Kohenim are allowed to drink wine, we may not have, because once they drink wine, they're possible to do the Avodah. So therefore they say, Rebbe says takanose kalkolose. Rebbe is saying that, you know, come on, is the Beis Hamikdash really going to be built that all of a sudden out of the blue like that, according to Rashi, or according to the Rambam, look, it's going to take time to figure out what Mishmo he's from. But the Chachamim disagree with those points. Well, I want to ask new, in the case of haircuts, it's the same thing. New, don't you have the same problem if a Kohen goes 30 days or more without a haircut? Same problem. He can't do the avoidah because his hair is growing too long, and you don't have. So why don't we require Kohenim to take haircuts every 30 days, even nowadays? And the answer is Hocha Efshadim a sap of aisle. The answer is okay, if he has long hair, then fine, big deal. He can quickly take a haircut and then he can go to the Beis Hamikdash. You know, Yosef did it when he got out of jail. So the Kohen can also take a quick haircut and go do the Avodah. Now the Gemara asks Hosam Nami. And now the Gemara is not bringing up the point, by the way, that all Kohenim nowadays are Tomei. Tosfos asks that question. This Gemara is also in Tainis, and Tosfos mentions it over there, and the Rosh mentions it over here. And the answer is, as we know, Tumo Hutro Dechuya Betzibur, when it comes to the Kobanos Tzibur, Kohenim are allowed to do the Avodah when they're Tomei. So therefore, even if the Beis Hamikdash is built, if the Beis Hamikdash is built right now, right this very second, and the Kohenim have to be ready to do the Avodah in it, then fine, even if they're Tomei, that's not going to prevent them from doing the Avodah. But the question is, as far as haircuts and as far as drinking, which those would passel the Avodah regardless, so the Gemara is saying, but haircuts, they could quickly take a haircut and then go serve. Well, the Gemara asked, "Hosam nami efshad nayim port of aisle nu." And when it comes to the drunkenness, can't the Kohen take a little nap and get rid of the effect of the wine of aisle, and then he would go into the Beis Hamikdash? After all, da'omer of acha derech mil v'shena derech mil, walking a distance of a mil, which takes between 18 and 24 minutes, v'shena kol shehu, and even a small amount of sleep mefigin esayayin, dissipate the effect of wine. So a person has drunk wine, if he walks a mil, meal, if he sleeps a little bit, then that removes the effects of the wine. So therefore, all he has to do is take a few minutes nap, and then he'll be ready to do the avodah. The answer is v'lav itman Allah. Yes, but don't you know there was said about that? Omer of Nachman, Omer of Avua, lo shono el shoshasa kedei revius. That would only apply if the kohen had drunk a revius of wine, which is the minimum amount that makes him possible to do the avodah. Avo yosim kedei revius. But if he drank more than a revius, kosher came to derech todosai. All the more so, walking on the road will mix up his mind and make the effect of the wine worse. V'shenim v'shakautoi, and sleeping will make the effects of his drunkenness even stronger. So therefore, that's the concern. The kohen may drink a little more than a revius, maybe drink more than a revius of wine, and then even a short nap is not going to be enough. And the Chachamim are saying that the Beis Hamikdash may be built at any second. The Rebbe would quote this a lot of times in Sichas and says, you see that when we say Achak Eloi B'chol Yom Shiyava and Shibana Beis Hamikdash Meher V'Yameinu, it's not just a nice pious wish, and it doesn't mean yeah, sometime it'll happen. It can mean right now it'll happen. So much so that a kohen who's just drunk wine might be possible to do the avodah, and we're concerned about that, and therefore, according to the Chachamim, he shouldn't drink. And even Rebbe is saying, fine, but he's saying, as the Rambam says, that look, even when the Beis Hamikdash is built, it is going to take time for the Sanhedrin to figure out who's from what Mishmer, and during that time, he'll have time to sober up. But we see that were it not for that, then yes, Kohenim would be also to drink wine, because the Beis Hamikdash really might be built any second. Okay, so that's one answer then why we distinguish between haircuts and drinking wine, because a haircut, we can take care of the matter right on the spot. Wine, we can't, because it takes time for the effect to dissipate. Rav Ashi says here's a different answer. Because when a kohen drinks wine and then does the avodah, he actually causes the avodah to be possible. He actually causes the avodah machil, as Moshe Chilul. He causes the avodah to be desecrated, and the avodah that he did is possible. The pasuk says when Hashem tells Aaron the mitzvah of kohenim not drinking wine, it says yayin v'shecher al teish, you're not allowed to drink wine when you go in to do the avodah. And then the pasuk continues, ola havdo bein hakodesh v'bein hachol, and to distinguish between the kodesh and the chol, which means, in other words, that by doing that, you'll be distinguishing between avodah, which is kodesh, versus avodah, which is chol, versus avodah, which has been profaned and desecrated, implying that if the kohen drinks wine and then does the avodah, then that avodah is mechulal, then that avodah is possible, is desecrated and is possible. Therefore the Chachamim had reason to make a gzera that kohenim shouldn't drink wine even nowadays, because again, if Mashiach comes right now and the Beis Hamikdash is built right and comes down min hashamayim and is built right now, then the kohenim, if they were to do the avodah in their drunken state, would actually make it possible. Rebbe is saying that not because takanase kalkolase, but at least the Chachamim are saying that's why they shouldn't. On the other hand, a kohen who has long hair, it's true he's not supposed to do the avoda in that state, but nevertheless, that will not pass all his avoda. So therefore, the gozru b'hurabon, and therefore Rav Ashi says the Chachamim did not find it necessary to make a gzera that a kohen has to have a haircut regularly, because even if he does the avoda with long hair, he'll be in trouble, but nevertheless, the avoda b'dievet will still be kosher. The Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction to that. A Mishnah says, the Elu Shibamisa, the following people, if they do the following types, we're going to have it later in the Masechta, actually, the following people, if they do the Avoida in any of the following states, Achayim Misa B'dei Shemayim, Prui Rosh Shsoya Yayin, if their hair is growing long, or if they're drunk. Now, when they're drunk, we know that their avoda is going to be possible. Dichtiv, because we just said, yayin v'shecher al teish ato v'necha v'loy samosu. Now, the pasuk says, Hashem tells Aaron, you and your children after you should not drink wine or shecher. Incidentally, by the way, shecher in later Lashon Kodesh tends to mean beer. Here, it doesn't necessarily mean that, because in general, in Tanakh, when it uses the word shecher, it usually means strong wine. Nonetheless, the fact is that it is also for a Kohen to do the avoda after he's drunk other kinds of intoxicating drinks. If I remember correctly, he's chayav misa and passels the avoda only if he actually drinks wine. But nevertheless, he is also to drink other kinds of intoxicants before he does the avoda as well. Anyway, so the pasuk says you and your children should not drink wine or shecher, v'loy samusu, and you shouldn't die, implying that if they do drink wine and then they do the avoda, then they're going to be chayiv misa. Ela prui rosh min olon. But after all, how do we know that if a kohen has his hair long, that he's chayiv misa in the first place? It must be the itka suya yain leprui rosh is because we have a hekesh in a pasuk between people who drunk between kohen who drunk wine and who grew their hair long. Yechtiv, because we have the pasuk in Yechezkel that we quoted before, v'roshem lo yigalechu ofer, they shouldn't shave their heads completely, but they shouldn't let their hair grow long. Uchtiv, and the next and the next pasuk continues. Basre, really, it's supposed to be, it says right after it, the very next pasuk says, v'yayin lo yishtu v'goyma, they should not drink wine. So we would learn from that. Mash suya yayin b'misa, just like those who drink wine are chayav misa, as we just said, afrui rosh b'misa. The same way, those who would let their hair grow long would also be chayav misa. Now the Gemara is going to ask soon, wait a minute, we don't learn halachas from Psukim and Nevi'im. We'll get back to that point in a few minutes. But anyway, the point is, so we have that hekesh, Umina. Now, from that hekesh itself, we should derive also the point. Mash suya yain machli avoda afrui rosh to machli avoda. The fact is, we know that suya yain am chalol the avoda. We know that from the pasuk in Parshas Shmini. So, if we have a hekesh between them and growing the hair long, we have a concept called ein hekesh lemechza, that you don't a hekesh doesn't teach us only half of something. It's an all or nothing thing. So, if we're going to learn from it that the kohen is chayav misa, we should also learn from it that the kohen's avoda is also mechulal. So after rosh to machli avoda, so it should cause that the prui rosh also their avoda is possible. Well, in that case, then Rav Ashi's distinction wouldn't fit, because Rav Ashi is saying the whole reason why the Chachamim didn't find it necessary to prevent kohenim from drinking wine is because the whole reason why the Chachamim do say that Kohanim shouldn't drink wine nowadays, but they don't require them to get haircuts every 30 days, is because even if they did do the Avodah as Prui Rosh with their hair long, they might be Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim, but at least the Avodah is kosher. But based on what we just said, it seems that in fact the Avodah would be possible either way. So the Gemara says Kasha. You're right, that's a Kasha on Rav Ashi's question. The Gemara is going to go on to say in a few lines actually that Rav Ashi himself is going to give an answer to that. So some of the Rishonim actually don't have the word kasha over here at all. Agoris Agura points out that anyway, even if you do have the word kasha, you have first of all further in the Gemara, but also in the parallel Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara right there continues with the answer that no, the hekesh is only as far as that they're chayiv misa, but not as far as possibly avoda, which the Gemara itself is going to point out here in a few lines. Although that itself is in parenthesis, and not everybody is going to sit. But in any case, in the Gemara in Tainus, definitely it's part of the Girsa over there that no, the answer is that no, in that case it is a hekesh that teaches us only one thing, that they're chayiv misa, but not that the avoda is possible when if they do it with their hair long. So therefore, sort of Ashi's distinction is still valid. Well, the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina lo Rav Ashi. Hi, this din that you're telling. So you're telling me the whole concept that people who do the avoda with long hair are going to be chayiv misa. You're telling me we're learning it from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Hi, Adolai Osi Yechezkel, Man Omra. Whoever, who, how did we know this din before Yechezkel came along? In other words, where would we know before that a person does the avodah, that a kohen does the avodah with his hair long and he's chayav misa? So Rav Ashi answers him, V'litaymech. Well, according to your svara that you're even asking the question, what about Hada Amar Rav Chista? Consider this that Rav Chista said, Davar Zeh, the following detail that we're going to say, Mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamadnu. We don't learn it from the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have, for the following din that the Gemara is going to quote now, we don't have an explicit pasuk that says the following din. Or even a limud from a pasuk, ad shebo yechezkel v'limdanu, until Yechezkel came along and taught us the following din. Yechezkel says, Kol ben necher, any foreigner. Now ben necher, on the surface of it, sounds like it means a goy. However, here and in other places where it uses the word ben necher, and the Gemara explains that it actually means someone who acts like a ben necher, a koyan, in other words, a meshumad, rachman latzlan, a koyan who's worshipped of a dezara. So he's posel avoda. Erel lev erel baser. So whether his heart is uncircumcised, meaning in other words, Rashi explains in a number of places that the word orla actually means blocked. The word orl or orla or whatever means blocked or blockage. So an erel lev would be somebody whose heart is blocked from focusing on Hashem, namely because he worships avodah zarah. The erel baser would be somebody who was physically an orl that he has not had a bris milah. So all of those, Yechezkel said, so both of those, he should not come to my base mikdash to serve me. Meaning, we learn from that a koyan who's worshipped of a dezara, or a koyan who has, or a koyan who's an oral, is possible to do the avoida. Now, usually, by the way, if we talk about an oral, would usually mean that he's an oral by choice. So in that case, then that would actually be considered in the same category as ben necher. Because actually, I said it wrongly. Actually, ben necher is not only where he's worshiping avodah zarah; it also includes that it also includes where he's deliberate. He's a mumer as far as any particular mitzvah in the Torah. We're going to talk about in the next parak the concept of mumer of a mumer l'te'oven and mumer l'haches. So you can have a person can be a mumer. A person can be that he's estranged from Yiddish. As far as one particular mitzvah that he holds, basically this mitzvah doesn't apply to me. So that would includes avodah zarah, but it also includes other averus as well. So you can have a person who says, you know what, the whole concept of bris milah doesn't apply to me. I don't have to do it. Well, in that case, he's included in the concept in the category of era lev anyway. So Tosfos points out in other places in Shas that it includes also mesu echav machmas milah. You can have a case he would like to have a bris milah, but his elder brothers died after having a bris milah, and therefore the din is that he can't have one until we know that he's going to be able to survive it. So he's not an oral by choice, but nevertheless, he's still possible to do the avoda. Anyway. So Yechezkel says that. So you have to ask. You can ask the same thing. Adle bo Yechezkel man amra. So before Yechezkel said, where did we know that from? Ella gemara gemirila. The answer must be that up until that point, it was part of Torah Shabbat Peh. It was Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim. V'asi Yechezkel v'asmacha akra. And now Yechezkel came and gave us a posuk to support it. In other words, now we have it's written down in a posuk that this din that had been all along. Hochinami. Well, therefore, the same thing. Rav Ashi answers Ravina. The same thing. You're asking, where did we know the concept before that, that somebody who has his hair growing long is going to be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim if he does the avoda? Same thing. Gemara Gemirila, up until that point, we had it by Kabbalah, v'osi Yechezko v'asmacha akra, and now Yechezko gave us a pasuk that we can look at from now on. We can find this din written in the pasuk. Now continues Ravashi. When we learned that the original halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, which Yechezkel is now writing down, was only as far as that they're chayav misa la'achuli avoda like miri. There was no limud in the first place that it should be that they should pass all the avoda, and therefore, in fact, they don't. And there is that valid distinction after all. That prue rosh, that if their hair is long, then the avoda is not mechulal, but the avoda is kosher, as opposed to when they're drunk. So therefore, yes, that supports Rav Ashi's distinction before, that since anyway, even if a kohen does do the avoda with long hair, but the eved will be kosher, then the chachamim didn't find it necessary to be gozer that a kohen should take a haircut all the time. So Tosfos discusses, in other words, basically like what was Rav Ashi thinking before, and what was he thinking now? So before this question of Ravina's, he hadn't realized that in fact it was an original halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. So he thought that it's a full hekesh and ain hekesh l'mechza. Now he's saying that actually no, I realized that it was a halacha all along, and the hekesh is just writing down a detail in Torah Shabbat Peh which had not been known up until that point. Okay. Now, we said before, when we quoted the pasuk about the kohenim taking haircuts, the expression was kosem yichsimu es rasheihem, that they shouldn't shave their heads, they shouldn't let their hair grow long, instead kosem yichsimu es rasheihem. So, my kosem yichsimu es rasheihem, what does that mean? What type of haircut is that? Now, the word kosem, Tosfos points out, is related to the word kusemes, which means spelt. So spelt grows in a way which the Gemara is going to describe. The haircut is very much like that. So Tana committee spurus lulayonis. It means the kind of haircut that in their times was known as a lulayonis haircut. My tispertus lulayonis. Well, what does that mean? Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, tisperta yichida. It means a unique haircut which there's nothing else like it. Hey chidami, okay, well, what does that mean exactly? What does such a haircut look like? Amar Avashi, roish shoze betzad ikre shoze. Means the tip of one hair should exactly touch the root of the hair next to it. So this is so it's a special kind of haircut where the hair was styled in such a way, and as Tosfos points out, it resembles a field of kusemis, of spelt, which grows in that way, roish shoze betzad ikre shoze. So the Pasuk is saying that they need to have that kind of haircut. Now the interesting point is that the Pasuk over there is referring to the Kohanim at large. And in fact we learned from that Pasuk that the Kohanim can't have to take a haircut when the Beis Hamikdash is standing at least once every 30 days. Now, the Gemara is going to go on to say now that this particular special haircut, this Tisperus Lulionis, was specifically the Kohen Gadol would wear it. So and why don't we say that every Kohen has to have it? So let's learn the piece of Gemara, actually, I guess, and then we can talk about that. So Shalom Asurebi, Ezur Tisperus Shal Kohen Gadol. So they asked Rebbe, what is the haircut? What is the haircut style of the Kohen Gadol? So he tells them, "Suru'u mitispertus shal ben Elossa. Go look at the haircut of Ben Elossa. Ben Elossa was Rebbe's son-in-law. And he spent a lot of money to find out how to do such a haircut. Keep in mind that Rebbe and Ben Elossa lived quite some time. They lived over 100 years after the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but they still wanted to know, so it wasn't like they could go ask a barber who had cut the Kohen Gadol's hair how he did it. So Ben Elossa had to kind of figure it out for himself. Tanya, and in fact, we learn in a braisa, Rebbe Yomer, lo yalchinam pizah ben Elossa es ma'osav. Ben Elossa didn't spend his money for nothing. Ben Elossa was Rebbe's son-in-law, and he was very rich, but he spent an enormous amount of money, but he did it for a good purpose, elaka de la haris bo tisperdas shal kohen gadol, just in order to be able to show the haircut of the Kohen Gadol, meaning Rashi says he spent a lot of money going, I guess, to different barbers or whatever, and they taught him this kind of haircut, this kind of special haircut of the Kohen Gadol. So the question is, Mephoshim asks, why specifically the Kohen Gadol? Again, where we're learning it from is a Pasuk in Yechezkel that refers on the face of it to all the Kohenim. So in fact, Rabbeinu Yonah takes out the word Gadol, and it is talking about the haircut of a regular Kohen, but then the Ran asks in that case, then fine, still, okay, they're living several decades after the Churban, but still, it shouldn't have been forgotten completely. Mele, if it's only the Kohen Gadol got this haircut, okay, it was specialized knowledge, so then it was lost shortly after the Churban, but if all the Kohenim had to take this kind of haircut, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, then on the face of it, we should say that it still should have been known well enough that Ben Elossa wouldn't have had to spend that much money for it. So the Ran explains that since it says Kosim Yichsimu Es Rosh Shehem, the words Es Rosh Shehem, their heads, is a miot, meaning only Kohenim Gdolim. And then you have, there are actually a number of Mephoshim who say, There are actually a number of Mephoshim who say that Yechezkel is telling us that in the time when the third Beis Hamikdash is built, then the regular Kohenim are going to be on the level of the Kohen Gadol of nowadays, and therefore a number of the dinim that apply in earlier times only to the Kohen Gadol are going to apply to the Kohenim Hedyotim as well. The Yad Ramah uses that on our Gemara over here. In earlier times, then only the Kohen Gadol has to have the special kind of haircut. But all of them will. And there's a number of other details in the Pesukim over there, which also some Mephoshim explain, refer to this idea that the regular Kohenim will be on the level of the Kohen Gadol from earlier times. And in any case, that's the Kosim Yichsim Wasir Hashem. That's how the haircut is done. All right, Hadron Aloch Kohen Gadol. So now we're going to get back to the next perek. Now we're going to get back to the main topic of here. This past perek was a digression about the dinim of the Kohen Gadol and of the king, and now we're getting back to the dinim of Sanhedrin specifically. So our parak is going to focus mostly on dinim momenis. And then after that, the later prakim and the masechta are going to start focusing on dinim nefashis. So the Mishnah says, dinim momenis, and also our parak is going to have a number of the dinim about edim, which the dinim we're going to learn about edim, those apply more generally to dinim momenis and dinim nefashis. So the Mishnah says, dinim momenis b'shloisha. Dinim momenis are judged by three, that we already had in the first perek, So here the Gemara is just giving it by way of introduction to the following dinim of our Mishnah. Zeb boroloi echad, v'zeb boroloi echad. One of the bali dinim can pick for himself one, and one can pick for himself one, u'shnein borin lehen oda echad, and then the two of them, the two bali dinim pick another one, and therefore you have a base din. Rashi explains that the Gemara is going to initially think that it sounds like the Mishnah is saying that each one of them picks a full base din of three. So it sounds like the Mishnah is saying that Reuven is going to pick three members that he wants to be on the base din, and Shimon is going to pick three members that are going to be on the base din, and then the two of them together are going to pick three more, and the Gemara is going to ask them, in that case, why do you need to do that? You only need three for a base din, not nine. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says no. The Gemara never wondered about that in the first place. The Gemara knew that it means that each of them is picking one individual die, and eventually the Gemara is going to explain that that's what it means. But Tosfos says the Gemara knew that all along. The Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean when it says Zeb Boro Loi Echad, implying it has to be that way? Do they need to do that? Do they have to pick a base din in that way? Can't they just go to the base din of the city and not be picking individual dayanim? And the Gemara is going to say that yes, they could, but it means if they want to do a base din in this way, then this is the way they do it. This kind of thing is called a Zabla base din. Zabla stands for Zeb Boro Loi Echad, and nowadays also you have sometimes that a person that two bali dinim will agree, instead of going to such and such based in, they'll put together an ad hoc based in like that, a zabla based in. Anyway, divrei Meir. So the Meir says, how is the third dayan picked? The two bali dinim pick him jointly. Macham say that no, the two dayanim pick themselves a third one for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. Now, the idea is going to be that each one of them figures that the particular dayan that he chose is going to be favorable to him. However, that doesn't mean that the dayan is actually, the Rosh points out, there are chasrei das, there are people who don't really understand, and they misunderstand Rashi to be saying that the one dayan, let's say the dayan that Reuven picked, is actually supposed to be almost like Reuven's lawyer and come up with all kinds of false claims or whatever in favor of Reuven. So the Rosh forcefully says that no, that's not at all. When Rashi says further on how that it means, the Gemara is going to say further on that it makes that the din will be emes la'amitoi, and Rashi uses the expression that the person is going to think, listen, I myself chose this dayan, and he was trying to look for whatever he could on my behalf. So the Rosh says that doesn't mean the Baal din himself may think that. Doesn't mean the dayan himself still has to be objective. The Mishnah continues, Zeh poisel dayone shel zeh, v'zeh poisel dayone shel zeh, divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says that each side could possel the dayan that the other one had brought. He could say, in other words, that this dayan is possel and I don't want to be judged by him. And now, how can he do that? Can he just randomly go and possel a dayan? According to the Meir, we'll see in the Gemara what he means. The Chum say, when could he possel? Bizmancha, maybe Alain Rayash and Kraven Epsulin. If he brings a proof that the dayan that his opponent picked is a relative of one of them, which we're going to deal with later in the parak in detail with the various kinds of relatives that are possible to judge, oipsulin, or that they're possible. And again, we're going to discuss further on in the parak what kind of people are possible. Then we can say he can disqualify. Then he can say, listen, you picked Pliny as your dayan, but he's possible on one of those grounds. Therefore, no, you need to pick somebody else. Avlim hoyuk sheren oimumchen mipibestin. However, if they were kosher, or they're not possible to judge, or if they're mumchin mipi beis din, if they're expert judges who have been certified by beis din, then any yochel apostlan, then he's not able, then they've received smicha from beis din, any yochel apostlan, then he can't possible them just by saying, I don't want to be judged by Pliny. Similarly, Zeb Poisel Ade of Shalzeb, Zeb Poisel Ade of Shalzeb, David a mayor. Similarly, the mayor says either one of them would be able to say that the other one's Adim apostle, and you have to bring different Adim. Again, does that mean just randomly you can say, I don't want to accept your Adim? How is a Din Torah ever going to work like that? We'll see in the Gemara. Again, that means only if he brings a proof that the relatives that the Edom are relatives to one of them or to each other, or that they're possible to or that they're possible Edos. But if they're kosher Edom, any yachol apostle, then he can't possle them, and he has to be, and the Beis Din will judge according to their Edos, according to their Edos, regardless. So the Gemara starts off. What do you mean, my zeb borulai echad, zeb borulai echad? What do you mean that? What do you mean each one chooses for himself one dayan? B'tlos asagi, it's enough to have three. So according to Rashi, the point of the question is that you only need three, you don't need nine. And yet the phrasing of the Mishnah, when it says dinei mamres b'shloisha, zeb borulai echad, etc., makes it sound like each one is picking a full Beis Din of three, and then you have three from one, three from the other, and then the two of them jointly pick the other three, according to the mayor, or according to the chachamim, the six dayanim so far pick another three, but that's nine. What do we need nine for if we need only three? According to Tosfos, the question is, the Gemara knows, of course, it means only three, but the question is, why are we saying they have to do it that way, as though there's no other way to get a Beis Din of three? Why? Isn't there going to be a Beis Din in town of three, and they could go to that? And the answer is Hachikama. What it means is Kish Zeb Borulai based in Echad, Vizeb Borulai based in Echad. It means that when one of them is picking for himself one Beis Din, and the other one is picking for himself another Beis Din. So in other words, we are talking about full Bate Dinim of three. But you have Reuven wants to go to one particular Beis Din, and Shimon wants to go to a different Beis Din. Then, and neither one is able to force the other one to go to a Beis Din that he doesn't want to. So then Shnein Berdur and Lehenoid Echad. So then the two of them jointly will have to pick a third Beis Din, which they'll both mutually agree to go to. So at this point, the Gemara is still thinking that Zeb Borulai Echad, the Zeb Borulai Echad, still means, at least according to Rashi, means a full Beis Din of three. And it just means, in other words, that we're saying that you don't want to be judged by this Beis Din, then fine, we'll work out between ourselves which Beis Din to go to. So now the Ramban and the Rosh explain that as far as the machlokas of the Meir and the Chachamim and the Mishnah, the point would be that if we're saying each one is picking a whole Beis Din, then the Chachamim are saying, listen, you can say one of them can say to the other, I don't want you to pick the entire Beis Din. So therefore, the two Bate Dinim that each one of us wants to, let them pick for us a third Beis Din, and we'll both go to it. As opposed to the mayor saying that the two of them jointly have to pick that third Beis Din. So the Gemara says, "Afilu loiva motzi ma'akev." So you're telling me that even the loiva is able to prevent and then say, "I don't want to be judged by this Beis Din, and I demand to be judged by a different Beis Din." V'amar Rabbi Elazar lo shanu ela malva. Didn't Rabbi Elazar say that this concept of being able to choose what Beis Din to go to applies only to the malva? Av a loiva koyfin oisiv adon be'iroi, but the loiva is going to have to be forced to judge to be judged by the Beis Din in his city, because the Gemara is going to explain later on in the parak. You have a pasuk that says eved loiva leish malva. The loiva is a slave to the malva. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't literally mean he's a slave to him, but it means, in other words, to a certain extent, he is under his control, in particular as far as choosing which Beis Din is going to be the venue for their din Torah. So therefore, you can't say that if one side says, I want to be judged by Beis Din Pliny, and the other side says, I want to be judged by Beis Din Pliny, then we're going to need to mediate between them. Whichever one the Malva says is what's going to go. And the answer is, Kid'omer Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan says, further down on the Amud, Ba'arkois Shebesur Yashonu, that we're talking about the Arkois, the Bote Dinim that are in Syria. Arkois is usually used to mean Goyish courts. Here it means Jewish Bote Dinim. But the point is, Rashi says, in Syria, they weren't as familiar with the Dinim of Torah. So therefore, so and further on, further down on the Amud, Rabbi Yochanan explains in connection with a different part of our Mishnah that we're talking about the Alkoris Shibasuria, where therefore we can say that, you know what, they're not really so expert in halacha. I demand that we go and find Dayanim who are actually experts. Hochanami Alkoris Shibasuria Shanu, the same thing would apply over here. And therefore you could say that yes, the that yes, even the loiva has the ability to say, you know what, I don't want us to go to these Akoris Shibasuria because they don't really know all the dinim, and therefore they're going to end up judging wrongly against me. The Ramban actually adds a detail that when he's saying I want to be judged by mumchim, if he's saying I don't care about mumchim, then fine, he doesn't have the ability to say I don't want these Akoris Shibasuria, but he has the ability to say that I want mumchim, I want expert dayanim who are going to know all the ins and outs of the halacha. So avam mumchim loy, but if the dayanim are mumchim, then no, that's when we're saying that the loiva does not have the ability to say that I want to choose where the venue is, then he has to go along with whatever the malva says. Okay, so that's one answer. Rapapa Amar, Rapapa gives a different answer. Afilu tema mumchim, you could even say that the base din we're talking about is mumchin, but kigain beit din de Rav Huna or de Rav Chista. But let's say, for example, you have Rav Huna and Rav Chista, both of them, Rashi explains, lived and judged in the same place. So you have, let's say, the beis din of Rav Huna versus the beis din of Rav Chista. In other words, like this, when do we say that the loiva can't pick the beis din? That would be when they're in different cities. So the malva says, let's be judged by the beis din here in town. And the loiva says, no, I want to go to a different beis din out of town. So then we can say, Evad loiva ish malva, no, you don't have the right to make that to make that determination. But here, suppose you have two bata dinim in the same city, so then the loiva would be able to choose one over the other, because he can say to the malva, it's not any more of a tircha, they're both in the same city, so therefore there should be no problem with you going to one based in or another. Now Tosfos points out, strictly speaking, Rav Chista is a Talmud of Rav Huna, or Talmud Chover at least, and the Gemara mentions elsewhere that he would never paskin halacha in the same town where Rav Huna was, Befonov. So how could it be that they're in the same city? So Tosfos says, okay, it means that they're fairly close. It's outside of three parsa, but still it's fairly close. So it's not considered much of a tircha to just have to go a few miles out of town to go to the other beis din, and therefore the papa is saying that the loiva would have the ability to make that determination. Okay. So far, again, what we're saying still, according to Rashi, is that we're talking about the full complement of Dayanim, where we're talking about one says, I want to be judged by this beis din, and the other says, I want to be judged by that beis din, and the question is then, what do we do? So the Gemara says, Tanan, well, let's look at the continuation of the Mishnah. Where it says, the two Dayanim pick for themselves another one. If you're going to tell me, like what we explain, that it means that each one is saying that I want to be judged by a different based in that we mean that each one is picking a different based in. What do you mean based in bosa de pasli lahu ozlu baru lahu beidina achrini? How could it be? Each one is saying, I don't want to be judged by this based in. Now we're going to trust them. Now we're going to accept from them. They're going to say, we're going to pick for you a third based in that you'll both agree with. Why? If Reuven is saying, I refuse to be judged by this based in for whatever reason, what would be the logic that all of a sudden he'd say? But if that based in says, let's go to a different based in, fine, I'm willing to accept their word on that. And also, what does it mean? What does it mean? My zeb borolei echad, v'zeb borolei echad. What does the expression in the Mishnah mean? When it says each one picks for himself one based in, it's not necessarily. It's only when one of them is. It's only one of them. Only when you have where one of that where each one is saying that I don't want to be judged by the based in that you picked. But it doesn't always have to be that way. One could say, let's take it to this base. Then the other one could say, fine, and then you don't go any further. So that can't be what the Mishnah means. Ela hachi karma. Rather, the Mishnah means like this. When one of them picks for himself one individual dayan, and the other picks for himself one individual dayan, then the two of them mutually pick another dayan, and therefore you have your three. So we're not talking about it anymore, picking which beis din to go to. We're talking about picking the individual dayanim who will make up the beis din. This is according to Rashi, again, who would explain that up until this point, the Gemara had thought, we're talking about complete bata dinim of three apiece. According to Tosfos, again, the Gemara knew all along that it means individual dayanim, but the Gemara is just saying that up until now we thought it meant they have to do it this way, and now we're saying that no, if they choose to do a zabla based in, then here's how we make up that based in, as opposed to if they just say we want to go to the local based in town, or they both mutually agree to a different based in, then fine, we don't need any of this process. So then the two of them together pick another dayan, according to the mayor or according to the chachamim, the two dayanim themselves pick the third one. So why do they do it like that? Why do they pick the dayanim? Why do they pick the dayanim in this way? For example, in other words, the Rosh explains, why don't we just have the two of them together pick the three dayanim? Why are we doing one picks one, and then the two of them together agree on the third one? And the answer is Amri, Ma Rava. They said in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, Meshmei de Rabzera, Mitoch Shezeb Borolai Dayan Echad, Vezeb Borolai Dayan Echad, because each one is picking a Dayan, for himself, Ushnein Borin Lahen Oid Echad, and the two of them together are picking a third Dayan, Yetzah Din La Mitoch, then that way the Din comes out very truthful. Because in other words, each one is going to think to himself, the Bali Dinim are more likely to listen and obey what the Beis Din decided. After all, each one of them is going to think, look, I chose one of those dayanim. If he had been able to find an argument in my favor, he would have done that. And the dayanim, after all, they were picked by the two of them, so they were going to try to be as fair and objective as possible and figure out all the possible arguments and everything on behalf of both of them. Which again, as the Rosh said before, you shouldn't misunderstand Rashi to mean that each dayan of the two that of the first two that they pick is actually meant to be the Baal Din himself. No, in fact, after all, we have Pirkei Avos, don't make yourself like a lawyer for the other party. It just means, in other words, that the person himself is going to think, you know what? Listen, I picked this guy. I know that he would make whatever possible arguments are valid within halacha in my favor. And if he didn't, then I'm willing. Whatever they came up with, I'm willing to accept, because I know it means that I had that it means that I chose a dayan who would have brought up whatever possible arguments in the deliberations that he could that would be valid al pi halacha. The Maharik actually points out for that reason, even you could have the dayan could even be a good friend of his. The Rama brings it la halacha. Even if the dayan is a good friend of his, then there's still no problem with it, because fine, the other guy can also pick a dayan who's a good friend of his. The fact is, you'll still have the third day on him. You'll still have the third dayan. The Smeh over there actually says that maybe if he's really like a really, really best friend, then maybe not. But at least if he's a good friend, then that's fine. Next, the Mishnah had said, the Chachamim had said that no, the third Dayan is picked by the two Dayanim themselves together. So the Gemara says, why are they arguing? Should we say that the Chachamim and Rav Meir are arguing regarding the point that Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav? The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Eina Edim Chosman al Ashtar. Adam should not sign a star. Unless they know who is signing together with them. In other words, they shouldn't just sign a star. They should know who the other aide is, because what's going to happen if the other aide turns out to be postal, and then the aide is bottle, and then they're going to be embarrassed. And the same thing as far as dayanim, that they wouldn't sit on a basin unless they know who's sitting with them. So we're going to say that Meir Leslie did Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, but Rabbanon Islu did Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So we're going to say that Meir disagrees with that concept. He says that it doesn't matter. Even if one aide comes out to be possible, it's not a problem. The aideist is going to be possible, but you personally are not going to be embarrassed. So therefore, sort of mayor would say, in the same way, if it turns out that one of these dayonim is not so good, and you're sitting on a basin with him, big deal. So does Rav Meir not hold of that? And the Chacham do hold of that and say that each dayan has to be able to know that the one that he's sitting with is an erlich dayan. So the answer is loy to kulam is through the Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. No, they both would agree with it. The das adayonin kulam le pligi debeinan. Everybody would agree that you do need the das of the dayonim. The dayonim themselves, in order to sit as a base din of three, they do have to be willing to accept each other as dayonim. So even Rav Meir would say that the dayanim need to know who the third dayan is and make sure that they're willing to sit with him. Ki pligi das bala dinim. The question would be, do we also need the das of the bala dinim themselves? Rav Meir sova das bala dinim, nami ba'inan. Rav Meir holds we need the consent of the bala dinim as well. They need to know who the third dayan is to begin with. No, we do need the das of the dayanim. They have to know who they're sitting with based on what Rav Yehuda said, but they don't need, but the bala dinim themselves don't need to know in advance. So therefore it's fine, say the chachamim, let the two dayanim pick the third one. That way the dayanim will know who they're sitting with and make sure that this is someone that they want to sit with. But the Bali din don't have to know until the din Torah actually starts who the third dayan is going to be, because we don't care so much about their das on the subject. It's not in this connection. It's in a different connection. But the smeh brings the famous expression that he says that which the Rebbe often paraphrased, das balabais hepech das Torah. The smeh's actual expression is something like that: the svoris of the of balabatim are the opposite of the svoris of the loimdim. But in other words, the point is the chacham are saying we don't care so much about the svora of the balabatim when it comes to deciding who should sit on this beis din. It really depends only on the das of the dayanim. Well, the Gemara says Gufa, getting back to what we said, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Eina Edim Chisman al Ashtar Chola, that Edim should not sign on a star unless they know who the other Edim are, so that they know the other Ed is not possible and they're not embarrassed. Tani Nami Hachi, we learned similarly in Ebraisa. The pure-minded people of Yerushalayim would do as follows. They would sign a shtar only if they know who's signing with them. They would sit on a din Torah only if they knew who is sitting on the beis din with them. And they would not even go to a suda and recline and eat at a suda unless they knew who the other people are at the suda. Because they don't just want to eat with any old people, they want to make sure the people that they're eating with are Erlecha people. Magoli Sayam on our Gemara says this explains the whole story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. Why Taka did the host throw him out and not even accept any compensation for him? And why did bar Kamsa hold all the Chachamim who were there responsible? So Margolius Hayam explains exactly that the Rabbanan, the Chachamim who were there, would only agree to participate only because they know who's going to be there. And here, the host figures, and this is going to go against that. The Chachamim don't know, and they're not going to accept him being over there. So therefore, and Bar Kamsa is holding the Chachamim responsible, because he's saying, yeah, I realize exactly what happened. The host threw me out only because he doesn't want that the Chachamim should have to be over on this. But therefore, I hold them responsible, because if they hadn't been there, then I wouldn't have been thrown out. Okay. The Mishnah had said, Zep poisel dayon echula. We said that according to the mayor, each side can say that I passed all the other ones dayan, that I don't want this one to be a member of the beis din. The Gemara says, Kol kamina to pasul dayoni. What does he have just the ability willy nilly to pasul dayonim? The other one had said that this is a good dayan. He's not pasul or anything. We're just saying, I don't want to. I don't want to be judged by them. But where does he have the right to do that? The answer is Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So here's where Rabbi Yochanan says, as we said before, Bar Kores Shebesur Yashanu, we're talking about these courts, these Jewish courts in Syria, where they're not so expert in Din Torah. So therefore, the Baal Din can say that I don't want them. I want Dayanim Mumchim. I want more expert Dayanim. And then the Chama saying no, only if you actually find that they're craving or psulim. So the Gemara says Homi Katani Sefer. But wait, the Sefer of the Mishnah continues. The Chama say, when does he have the ability to passel? Bisman Shemevi Rayash and Craven Epsulin, only if he brings a proof that their relatives or their passel, Avalim Hayukshirin or Mumchin, but if they were kosher or they were mumchin, they were given smicha by Beis Din, any Yochal Poslim, then he can't passel them. Miklaudra Mayor Mumchin Nami Kamar. Now the fact that the Chama have to mention when they're mumchim implies that a mayor would say, even when they're mumchim, He has the ability to passel them. So we're not just talking about our Kohen Shiv Asuriyah. We're talking about Dayanim, who actually know the ins and outs of the halacha. And still, the mayor is saying that he has the ability to say, I don't want to be judged by them. So the answer is no. Hachikama. No, because what the Mishnah means is, Avlim Hoyuk Shedin, the Chum are saying, if they are kosher, if they're not relatives of psulin, nasu mumchen mipi beisdin, then we consider them the equivalent of being mumchen mipi beisdin. That any yochel poison, and he wouldn't be able to passel them. In other words, the chum are saying to the mayor, look, you agree that if they're mumchim, you can't passel them only by our kores shibasuya. Well, you should know, as long as we hold that, as long as he does, as long as they're not kroven of psulin, then they have the full force of mumchim, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to passel them and to say, I don't want to be judged by them. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof from a Braisa. Omer loy to the mayor. The Chum said to the mayor, "What do you mean he can passel the dayanim? Loy kol hemenu shapoisel dayan shemumcha l'rabim. He doesn't have. We don't believe him. He doesn't have the ability to passel a dayan who's mumcha l'rabim, who's an expert and judges the rabim." So we see therefore that the Chachamim apparently are saying that he can't do that, implying that a mayor would say that he could. The answer is Ema. Fine. Well, you have to fix up the wording of the Braisa a little bit. What the Chum mean is loy kol haymenu shepoisel dayan shehimchu rabim aleihem. He doesn't have the ability to passel a dayan whom the rabim have accepted as a dayan mumcha. He may not be objectively mumcha. He may be one of these akoris shebesuya, but no, he may be a mumcha. He may at least the tzibur is willing to accept him as a mumcha. So therefore, the Chum is saying he doesn't have the ability to passel him just on his say so. But still, we can still say that we can still say that that we are talking about that we're that that if they're actual mumchim, even Rameyah would agree he can't passel them. And the Chum are saying, listen, it's not only someone who's objectively a mumcha, even somebody where the rabbim are willing to treat him as a mumcha, also he has no ability to passel him and to refuse to be judged by him. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's try to bring it so not Toshma. So the Gemara says so Tani Nami Hochi, we learn in fact like a Braisa, La'olam Poisel V'Holech, Reb Meir says that he can passel any Dayonim that the other one brings, Ad Shei Kabel Ol HaBeisdin Shemumcha L'Rabim, until he accepts a Beisdin on him that is Mumcha L'Rabim, that are experts, that have Smicha, and are accepted by the public, Divrei Reb Meir. So we see that Reb Meir is saying that a Beisdin Shemumcha L'Rabim, he can't passel. But and the Chum, so even Rameyu agrees with that. The Chum are just saying that even when they were lesser level than that, nevertheless, he can't just passel them willy nilly. Well, the Gemara asks for Edim kum mumchin dami. But wait, when it comes to Edim, though, consider Edim are considered like mumchin because Edim, after all, don't need to know the details of the halacha. They just have to be not krovim or psulim. Any aid who is not kor of apostle is automatically kosher. And yet Rameyu had also said in the Mishnah that each one can say the other one's Edim apostle. So you see that Rameyu would allow him to passel even Mumchim, because Edim, in effect, are Mumchim, as long as they're not Kor of apostle. The answer is Ha'itmar Allah. Yes, but don't you know there was said about that statement of Rameyu, Omer Shlokish, that Shlokish says, Per Kodesh Yoma Dover Zeh. Did the holy mouth of Rameyu really say such a thing that a person can passel each other's, the other one's Edim? Tony Edoy. You have to correct the wording of the Mishnah. It's impossible that Rameyu would say that Reuven has the ability to say, Shimon brings two Edim to Beis Din, and Shimon and Reuven would have the right to say, no, I don't accept those Edim just on my say. So, of course not. Rameyu couldn't possibly say such a thing. So Rish Lakish says, Tony aid doi, you have to rather correct it. The Mishnah would be saying only when he brings one aid can the other one passel him, because one aid, the maximum he can do is make him be chayav ashur, but not two aidim. Well, that's the Gemara says, Eidur Lamai. Well, as far as what? Are we talking about one aid? Ilema Lamaman. Are we talking about that he's bringing one aid in order to make the other guy pay? No, Rachmana Pasle. The Torah says one aid is possible to take money. You need two aid him. Ilashvua. And if you're talking about that the one aid is going to make him swear a shvua, how could he possibly? One aid is believed just as much as two aid him when it comes to a shvua. The Torah implies that you need, the Torah says you need two aidim for dinim mamonis, and the implication is that one aid is enough for shvuah, as the Gemara learns in other places. So what's the case where a mayor would say, according to Rish Lakish, that he can pass a one aid but not two? And the answer is Lutz, and the answer is Lutz Olam Lamamon. In fact, we are talking about where he's bringing one aid in order to take the money. And the chiddush would be, suppose that the Baal Din was willing to accept on himself that I'll pay based on that one aid. So in other words, what we're saying is, so Reuven takes Shimon to Beis Din, let's say you owe me $100. So Shimon says, you know what, I agree. Let's say I agree in advance. Fine, Reuven, if you bring one aid that says that I owe you the 100, then fine, I'll pay it. So Reuven brings the one aid. Now, does Shimon have the ability to renege and say, you know what, I don't want one aid after all. I'm going to pay you only if there are two aidim. Right now, you brought one aid. Maximum, I'll do as a shvua. So therefore, so we're saying that, the Mishnah is saying, Reb Meir is saying, according to Rish Lakish, that he would have the ability to do that. He would have the ability to pass all that aid in the sense of saying, I don't have to accept that aid as though he was true. After all, I'm not obligated to pay. Maximum, I'm obligated as a shvua. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malon de matzi hadabe." So then, what's the chiddush that he is able to change his mind after he takes on himself an obligation like that which he wasn't required to? He could have said to begin with, "Look, two aid him, and then I'll pay. Then of course I have to pay, but otherwise not." When he voluntarily accepted on himself at first that I'll pay, even if only one aid says, and was saying that he's able to change his mind, what's the chiddush in it? Tanena. We learn later on in our perek, Omer Loi, if one of the Baalei Dinim says to the other, Nemon Olai Abba, I trust my father to be one of the Dayanim, even though a father being a relative would usually be possible to judge, or Nemon Olai Avicha, I trust your father to be one of the members of the Beis Din, or Nemon Olai Gimel Roye Boker, or I'll trust even three cowboys to be who are not so bucky in the dinim to be our Beis Din. So later on in the parak, Reb Meir says afterwards he can change his mind and say, look, after all, my father or your father or the three Roye Bokar apostle to be Dayanim, I want to change my mind. And the Chum say he can't. So then that would be, according to Rish Lakish, that's basically the same thing as our Mishnah. So why, what's the chiddush in it? The Omer of Dimi Breder of Nachman Breder of Yosef, because and Rab Dimi Breder of Nachman, the son of Rab Yosef, explains, going to Kibla Allah Bachad. The case is we're talking about when we say Naman Olai Abba means, in other words, we're talking about he accepted him as one of the three Dayanim. We're not even talking about where he says, I'm willing to be judged only by my father or only by your father. He's going to be one of the members of the Beis Din, but nevertheless, because after all, he is possible to be a Dayan, because he's a relative after all, then later on he'd be able to change his mind. According to the mayor. So the same way over here, then, if all we're saying is that he's saying, I'm willing to accept one aid as though he's two, and afterwards he's able to change his mind, then what's the chiddush in it? Then the mayor is saying exactly the same. So the mayor is saying exactly the same thing. So the answer is tzricha. Fine, but we still need both mishnayos. There is a chiddush in each one of them. De'i tona abav avicha, if we only had the later Mishnah, where a mayor says that if he said my father or your father, then you would say, you know why, b'hoka ami rabbanon v'le motzi hodebe, you know why the Chum says he can't change his mind, b'shem da'abav avicha ha chozu la'alma. Because after all, fine, my father is possible to judge my din Torah, but after all, he is kosher to judge anyone else's din Torah, and the same thing your father. But to accept one aid as if he were two, de la alma lechazi, you never have anywhere else one aid would not be acceptable as though he were two. Maybe they would agree with Reb Meir that he has the ability to change his mind. Therefore, we have to have the same machloikas in our Mishnah where the mayor says he could passel that one aid, and the Chum say he cannot unless he finds evidence that he's a court of apostle. Well, the Gemara asks, what does that mean? Homer Katoni Resha Dayona Iva Sefer A Dove. What is okay? So fine. So Rish Lakish is explaining that. So fine. Rish Lakish is explaining that a mayor was saying in our Mishnah that he has the ability to pass a one single aid, but not two of them. If he had voluntarily accepted previously that he'll accept one aid as though it was two, and now he wants to change his mind, Reb Meir says he can do that. The Chum say only if he finds evidence that he's Korav Apostle. So, but the Gemara says, how does that work? Wait though, the ratio of the Mishnah says that Rameo says zeh poisel dayon noi shel zeh, which is in the singular. So he has the ability to say the individual dayon who you picked for this zabla based in, I don't want to be judged by him. I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I don't want him to be part of the based in that's going to judge us. But then in the Sefer, it says a dove, which means in plural. So Alma Davka Katani. So therefore, the Mishnah really does mean two Dayanim. So yes, as much as Rish Lakish is saying, Pech Kodesh Yoma Davazeh, how could the holy mouth of Reb Meir possibly say such a thing? It seems that the fact is he did say such a thing. So how do we understand it? And the answer is, Amar Rabbi Elazar, B'bohu V'achar L'poislan. The case is, in the Sefer, yes, we are talking about passeling both Edim, but what we're saying is the Baal Din, together with someone else, is coming to passel the Edim. So in other words, Reuven and Shimon are in a Beis Din, are going to Beis Din. Reuven has brought two Edim, which should make Shimon liable to pay. But now Shimon comes and finds somebody else, and the two of them together are testifying in front of Beis Din that these Edim are passel. And Rashi also adds, we're still talking about our Koris Shiba Surya, we're still talking about these inexpert Bate Dinim of the type that they had in Surya. So we don't mean actually possible, but we just mean, in other words, that I want a better quality based in. Well, the Gemara says, Kol Kamine, what do you mean? How could we believe him to do such a thing? Negea Be'edus, he's very much Negea Be'edus if he's coming as one of the Edim to passel these Edim. How could Ramey allow such a thing? And the answer is Omer of Acha, Breded of Ikka, Kugan Shekorol of Arar. What you're talking about is he's not just coming and saying he's saying he's posel stamazoi. He's actually pointing out that he's saying there's a psul in him. That there's a psul, an arar means an objection against his kashrus. So in other words, we're not just saying that we're not, when he says an arrow, we're not just saying, in other words, for example, he's a relative and therefore he's possible for this particular din Torah. We mean that what he's going to say, that he's actually possible to be an aid for anyone. And then that way, that should be a reason to believe him, because that's not something that's gay be'edus over here. That affects the guy's kashrus as far as other dine Torah as well. Well, the Gemara says, Ara Demai, what kind of era are we talking about? Ilema Ara de Gazlanusa, is he going to argue that the guy is a Gazlan, who's posel as an aid of Midaraisa? Again, Kol Kamine, how does he have the ability to come and say, in Beis Din, that the guy is a Gazlan? Negea Beidusa, he still have the same problem, he's Negea Beidus. Fine, it's going to passel him later on as well, but so what? The fact is he's passeling him right now. Ela ara de pagam mishpacha. Rather, what we mean is he's claiming that the guy has a pagam in his mishpacha, that he's actually from a family of avodim. So therefore, he's not just saying about the guy individually. He's saying about his entire family that they're posel la'edus. So now, the mayor sava hani amishpacha kamasadi. So the mayor says these new edim, in which one of them is the Baal Din, are really coming fundamentally to give edus about the family as a whole. The ihu memela kapostel, it comes out he being a member of this family is going to be postel, but nevertheless, though the mayor holds that he's not a negeya bedover. For rabbanan savri safe negeya beedus. Who? Where is the hum hold? After all, he is negeya beedus because it does affect the validity of the guy and of the aid in this particular case, and therefore he would be considered a negeya bedover. So there are Mephoshim who talk about certain details in this. The Orochoner explains that there's actually two different ways where you can give edus about avodim. There you can have a case where you're saying that one dayan is from a family of avodim, and the other dayanim say that not. So as opposed to over here, he's saying about an aid. He's saying that I know about an aid, about a fact about this aid, which says that the whole family are going to be avodim, and it may not be so easy to find out something against that. And therefore, Meir is saying we would accept that aidus and the Chachamim are disagreeing and saying that he can't do that. So in any case, so that's what the Mishnah means then, so far, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that So far, Rav Meir is saying, so far we have two explanations of Rav Meir's statement in the Mishnah that he can pass over aid according to Rish Lakish. I mean specifically when it's one aid, and according to Rav Elazar, according to the second answer over here in the Gemara, it does mean we are talking about two aidim, but we're talking about where he's claiming that those aidim are actually avadim from a family of avadim, and therefore Rav Meir is saying he could actually be one of the aidim to testify about their yichus, and the Chum say no because he's negei b'davar. And then we'll continue tomorrow, B'ez Hashem, with more understandings of the machlokes of Rav Meir and the Chachamim.
Yeshakayach.
Baruch Hashem.